Joyful offering to you. I'm trusting.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm gonna trust thee.
Everybody, how are you today on this beautiful Monday morning, April 26th, year of our Lord, 2024, and I am so incredibly excited to be back in front of the camera, back in front of that beautiful, wonderful world that God created that you see behind me, back with all of you, fellowship in this wonderful Godcast, this digital congregation that we have. It is something that I look forward to every single Monday. I remember when most of the world, I hated Mondays. Oh, it's a Monday, and you always blame all of your, frustrations and your shortcomings on the fact that it's a Monday, right? But Monday's such a great day. Monday is when we start our week again. Monday is when we take that energy that we got from our families and from rest and from God through the weekend and bring it back into our work week, and we are very productive. We are far more productive now than we were 2 years ago on a Monday. Am I right? Mondays are great. I look forward to Mondays. And I pray that you guys do as well. It is April 22nd. And it is a beautiful sunny Monday morning. And it is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. I would also like to say a big shout out to our friend, our brother in Christ, and somebody that I've known since I was a kid, Chris Lartz, back in the live chat, having some rough times at right now, and rightfully, so he's had a lot of going on the last few years, but he's back in the Word. He walked away from God for a little bit, but he's back here in the Word, because this is where you come. This is the well, and I'm not specifically saying rumble.com/LFATV is the well, but God's Word is the well. This is where everybody comes back to for a fresh start. This is where everybody comes back to when there's nothing else left for them, when people have no hope. And I mean no hope. And we're going to kind of mix that with our message today of being generous with nothing. Okay? No hope and being generous with nothing. That are the two things that we're going to discuss today. But that is where you go. That is where all humans instinctively go, is back to the well. All of us, all the time. I don't care if you're a self-proclaimed atheist, agnostic, Christian, whatever you are. It is human instinct. when you feel no hope, to go back to God. And I'm absolutely grateful and thankful to be a messenger of the word every day, Monday through Friday, as I go through my personal journey with Jesus, and that is what I welcome you to every day. We have about 1,000 people watching right now. I want to say hello to all of you and good morning. Please make sure you're signed in. We actually crossed 82,000 followers on the page this weekend, but then I checked this morning and we were back under 82,000. Don't think people were leaving the page. It's probably one of those things where people are automatically being unfollowed from whatever glitch that is. So make sure that you're following, make sure that you're signed in, make sure that you've rumbled, and make sure that you've shared. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we're going to get into some great conversation today, a great group of verses, great videos, great testimonials, all about being generous with nothing, especially for people that have no hope. Okay? All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, in heaven above, Lord, we thank you so very much. We are so grateful for you. What would we do without you, God? What would we do? I cannot even imagine having no hope. Lord, I want to thank you for bringing a friend of mine into the studio last Friday before we left. And as busy as I was, the conversation that I had with this fellow brother in Christ was needed. I was humbled that day, talking about scripture for an hour and a half with a fellow brother. And we talked about being generous, and we talked about no hope. And Lord, I really wanted to carry that message over to today. So I want to thank you for that opportunity. I want to thank you for opening my heart up to have the conversation that day when I had so many other things to do, but you said this first, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And I just want to say thank you for that. I needed it. I know the people today are going to need it, and I know the world is going to need to hear this today. Lord, we ask for healing and restoration for everybody who's watching. If it is according to your will that they pray and cry out to you to help them in their lives, and that you can do so today and relieve whatever pain that they're dealing with. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who's ready for story time? You ready for story time? All right, well, here's what we're going to do. If you look in the description of your show today, you'll see that I put the verse of the day in there. I'll read for you the title in the description of the show. I'll point out the verses. You'll make sure you open your Bibles to those verses, and then we'll get to it, okay? Rise Up, episode number 340. Jesus calls us to be giving and generous. But what happens if we have nothing to be generous with? Which is the case a lot of us think most of the time. There is always something to be generous with. Always. Today we're going to speak about the way Jesus did this and how he gave so much with so little. Please make sure you're signed in and join me in spreading the gospel, not gossip, today. Amen. The verses of the day today are going to come from Luke 21, and it's going to be Luke 21, 1 through 4. Again, that's Luke 21, 1 through 4. And you can also, right below that verse of the day in the description, you can see all of our sponsors that we partner with, as well as relying on all of our audience to make sure that this network continues. We are a viewer-funded network, but I would like to make sure that you guys remember that we also have another wonderful brother in Christ who also does a show here, who sponsored Rise Up for many, many months to help us spread the gospel and to help children continue to stay in the word with helping fund the new Christian school that our children have went to for the last 5 years. And that is by going to trumpetdaily.com, folks. You can show them some love for everything they did for us at trumpetdaily.com. Stephen Fleury and the group of people over there. You can also find their show live every night here at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They helped us spread the gospel when we needed the most. They helped us with funding that we passed on, and it was so incredibly amazing and generous of them, and it actually was made the difference between getting a building for a school and not, and the Christian school lives on. And a lot of that is thanks to God and, of course, Trumpet Daily. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about today's show by telling you a story from last week. I hope you have your Rise Up coffee ready. If not, we're sending a bunch more out today for people who ordered. Don't worry, I know that there's some been on hold there for a while. We were waiting for our orders to come in. They came in. We're sending them out, the rest of them today, along with the giveaways last week. So make sure you have your Bibles open. Make sure you have your coffee ready, because it's story time. Last Friday, a gentleman knocked on the door. Actually, there was a knock on the door. I didn't know who it was. And Eli was over by the door. He answered the door, and it was a gentleman that I go to church with, and his name is Fred. If you guys have been watching Rise Up for 340 episodes, you probably remember me reading a blog that he did, a letter about his wife who was dying because she had a deteriorating cancer that was attacking her brain and pretty much all of her organs. And I don't know if you remember that or not, but it was very, very emotional. It was a very emotional letter. And of course, this gentleman and his family go to the church that we attend here. Well, the reason why Fred was visiting the studio was because when we had that series of unfortunate events with our daughters sneaking out and sneaking people in the house and this, that, and the other, we scraped up enough money to get some cameras put up at the house. Well, those cameras have arrived and Fred was going to put them up. But we said, well, we're moving now, Fred, so we really don't need them at the house. I said, but we do need them at the studio, especially watching over the studio equipment and watching over my mother's apartment, outdoor cameras. So we just basically repurposed that that order to do it here. So he was coming here to basically lay out where they would be while we're, you know, gone, and I'm traveling back here once a month to work out of the studio, and I just want to make sure that we are pretty secure, right? Obviously. So he walks in, and I said, I didn't know he was coming. I had no idea it was that day. My wife put all this together, and she'd forgot to tell me because we got so much stuff going on. We forgot to put it in the calendar. Long story short, it slipped our mind. I said, am I expecting you for anything today? And he goes, yeah, I'm coming over to do the cameras. And I said, oh, man. I said, I completely forgot. Now, I had to leave that day. I had to pick Jaden up from school. There was other things I had to do, stuff for listing the house for sale and everything. And I really didn't have the time. But I said, you know what? You're here. Let's just do it. Boy, am I glad we did. Boy, am I glad we did. Because the Lord had different plans than I did that day. And the Lord our God said, all those plans you had, this is more important. And I said, okay, no problem. How you doing, Fred? And we started talking. And as we're going around the building, putting up camera, you know, asking, you know, where do you want cameras? We're going to put them here. We're going to put them there. How do we get them out of here? What do we get from the basement to here? You know, all that stuff. We start talking about God. We start talking about denominational names and churches. We start talking about pastors and we start talking about the way the church is and the way schools are these days. We start talking about cancel culture and how, you know, how it affected me and how it, you know, wiped me out of existence. But now they're coming for Christianity. And we got on the topic of if you think that it was hard to come out as a conservative or hard to come out as a Trump supporter, that's nothing compared to the persecution that you're going to feel from following Jesus. And so we had that conversation. But then we got into the conversation of his wife. Now, if you remember, when I first read this blog, it was about a year ago. And his wife, it was uncertain of where her condition was going to bring them. She went through massive amounts of chemo and radiation and treatments, and they basically subdued it, but it had already done too much damage, and it was deteriorating her organs and her brain, and they basically slowed the process down. But every day she's getting worse. Every day she's getting worse. And he told me that the latest visit to the treatment center, they said that it would take, if a miracle happens, she will have 4 to 5 years left. If a miracle happens. But they told him, realistically, you might have 2 years. So you really want to make sure that you are praying and doing everything you can, obviously, but to be prepared, because realistically here, you're looking at about 2 years. Now, we know that God will take her home whenever he is ready. The world will not dictate or determine this. Now, he has children as well. And he's trying to, both of them are making provisions for when she's gone. It's the saddest thing on earth. But why I am, and this is where it's going to hit me, but why I'm telling you this story is because he almost didn't even break having a smile on his face the entire time he was here. He showed joy. Now, yes, when we were talking about his wife and the time she had left, I could see the tears start coming in his eyes. And I started to tear up. But after I noticed the tears start swelling up in his eyes, I also, my eyes went down and I saw that he still had a smile on his face. And I tried to put myself in his shoes in real time as he's talking to me. And even after he left, I tried putting myself in his shoes. What if Sabrina was realistically given 2 years to live, and I had to make provisions and plans for her not to be here? And it hurt. But he was smiling. And he proceeded to tell me that what they are doing for their children to get them ready, they're finding joy in that. And the reason why is because they don't stop co-parenting when God brings her home. They still parent together because they're making the provisions to do that now. And they know that they will be reunited with Jesus and God in heaven someday. And they find joy in that. So, as we're continuing to talk, he says, when we went into the treatment center this last time and they told us this, he said there's two people there that have been there like the last three times we've went. And he said they're non-believers. They have no family that visits them. They are truly and utterly alone, dying in a hospital or in a treatment center with no family, alone, and this is the part that killed me. He said, with no hope. And he looked at me, and the smile went away on his face. And he looked at me in my soul, and he said, can you imagine dying with no hope? No, I cannot. I cannot. Now, like most people, so somebody asked, what kind of provisions? Like videos, writing things down that they'll be able to go back to and read of their mothers or see of their mom or his wife. Things that the mother would really love to see the children do. Advice for them. Putting it down in paper form and in video form so they can read it and watch it. Something that I do. I've already started making videos for my children while I'm young and well. That I'm going to put away and archive away for when I die and I give it to them in my will so that they always have me around. So that dad is never gone completely and you don't have to go to the grave to see me. Just pop on your video files that I leave you when I'm dead and there's going to be advice for everything that you could ever need in there. That's what I'm already doing. I'm already making a bank vault of videos for my children. And those are the kind of provisions. But here's the part that got me. Is they're broke, like everyone else seems to be these days. And they don't even have any money to make financial provisions for her funeral. But he's like, God will provide. So anyway, long story short, he's talking about people with no hope. And these people give their time to the community. And they're generous with their time. You ask this man or his children to do anything for you, they will drop what they're doing and they will do it for you. Talk about generosity. Generosity and joy in the middle of the storm. So he left. And you know that book that I read, 66 books of the Bible, understanding the 66 books of the Bible? I don't have that anymore. Because I gave that to him. Because while we were talking, we were throwing scripture back and forth to each other. And it was just so fun and so awesome. I didn't even know I knew as much scripture as I knew. Because when he would start saying a scripture, I would start repeating it with him. And I was like, I didn't even realize I remembered that. It was really a great visit. Anyway, I leave. He leaves and then I leave to go pick up my son. And as I'm driving to get gas, I stop at the gas station. Right before I pull in, I just start bawling. Like I am pouring Noah buckets of water, Noah-sized droplets of water. And I pull into the gas pump, and I'm just sitting there with my head down, crying with a smile on my face because I felt so much joy for having just been given that opportunity to visit with a fellow brother in Christ who humbled me and showed me real joy. And I just started bawling because I was so joyful over life and my family and God and the bad things that I'd been through. And again, I started repenting all over again from the people that I've hurt. And I hurt people every day with my mouth, with my anger. And I just started, I was sitting there in that gas station breaking again. Like it was the first time that I ever accepted Jesus. I called Sabrina. And I said, I love you so much. And she was on speakerphone because she was in the car with the kids. And I said, and I love all of you guys all so much too. No matter what has happened, I could not imagine not being your dad, not being your husband, all this stuff, right? Just all the stuff coming out. And I got home and I started talking with my wife that night. And you guys know we have our house for sale, right? So we have our house for sale. And obviously, because I bought it before 2018, it's worth a lot more than what we bought it for. Now, our plan was, when we sold our house, we were going to put 100% of that towards the new house that we're buying because we can't afford more of a bigger payment than we have right now. Unfortunately, because we haven't sold the new house before or the old house before we buy the new one, we have to go buy the new one. Then we have to refinance after we sell our house. And anyway, long story short, we have to sell the house because we need the money to pay down this loan to where we are now so we can have about the same mortgage. And I said to my wife, I said, you know, they don't have any money to bury his wife. And she knows the story. And she said, I know. And we started looking back at how much it costs to cremate and bury the three family members that she had die last year in her family, my wife, including her sister of fentanyl. Thanks, Joe Biden. And we've seen that it costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to get a headstone, to get a burial plot, to be cremated, to have an urn, anything, thousands and thousands of dollars just to die. Who's got that kind of money? Well, I know they don't. I know we don't either. But what I do know is that when we sell this house, we will have a substantial amount of money because of the equity we have in the house and how much it's worth now compared to what it was then. So I said, let's take $5,000 from our sale and let's leave it with him. In a card, when he does the camera work, we'll put his check for the camera work in the card. The business pays for that. And then we'll put a check in there from when we sell our house. And my wife and I just held hands and cried together because we knew that that's what God wanted. He wanted us to be generous. Now, we need that money too. But not that kind of need. We can just have a higher mortgage payment, work longer hours, whatever it is. I would much rather ease that family's pain than have a $50 or $100 less month mortgage payment a month. But then I went to my son's soccer game yesterday. And I was speaking with another woman who was lived in our neighborhood for a long time, but she recently divorced her husband in the same neighborhood, and now she's struggling with her two kids in an apartment building. And she's financially and becoming bankrupt and dying out, too. She can't even make it. Three-bedroom apartment, $2,400 a month to live there. What? So I came home last night, and I continued to cry because there's so much pain, financial pain in the world. And I don't understand why billionaires are not helping the world. I don't understand why our government is sending money to countries that are very corrupt, that spend it lavishly and don't spend it for what it needs to be spent for, when we could take everybody out of poverty in this country, we could lift everybody off the street, we could alleviate everybody's problems with their bills, we could do all of that together. But we don't, as a species. We don't. Billionaires make more billions. And I hate it. And I said, if I was a billionaire, you could rest assured that I would only be a billionaire for like a month. Because I would give it mostly away. I can't stand to hear the problems that I'm hearing. And we have problems too. So we're out there screaming our problems too, to God anyway. But everybody is just in this really bad spot. So I thought about this. Please go to your verses of the day today. And that is Luke 21, 1 through 4. Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box. And he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of you combined." Or it says all of them. "For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on." Kitten had just ordered me another 66 books of the Bible on Amazon and sending it to me. Thank you so much. Now that's generous. That's generous. Kittenhead, thank you so much. I just wanted that book to go into a good hand. And you just blessed me back. "For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many things that we can give having nothing. Do you remember when the beggar asked Peter at the gates of the city to give him anything he could, to donate anything he could to him, give him any kind? And Peter said, "I have no money, but I can give you the word of God. I can give you blessings. I can pray with you. I can open your eyes and show you the word, which is far more rich than anything else." And he did so. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I'm asking you to do. Here's what I am going to do. I really truly feel like you don't give anything unless you give everything. And what I mean by that is, sacrifice something of yours to give to somebody who needs it. And I don't mean sacrifice out of abundance. I mean sacrifice. Now, I'm not asking anybody to do this portion. I'm just asking you to give to somebody, even if it's advice, even if it's 10 minutes of time, a hug, a blessing. Help them with something that they're trying to do, anything. But if you want to take another step, give a bill that you don't even have the money to pay. Phone bill, electric bill, Vudu, Netflix, whatever it is that you have, sacrifice it and give it to somebody else and watch God take care of it. I'm not saying you have to do that, and I'm not saying put yourself in any kind of way, shape, or form that you don't feel that God will get you out of. But for me, we're going to give what we don't have. Not just the money when we sell the house. Meaning, I am going to sit down with my wife today and say, where can we really sacrifice to help somebody? Because after listening to people all weekend long, I found out that there are more people struggling than I ever knew. And I mean really, really struggling. Life like so much suffering, God has asked me to send this to be used as needed. We love you, Jeremy, and bless all you do. Thank you so much. And then another one here. By the way, this is not a show asking for donations. I don't want anybody to think I'm asking you to give to me. I'm asking to give to other people. But look at this. RJ Cat just gave $50 for that funeral fund. So now it's going to be $5,500 that we give Fred and his family. Another $25 funds for Fred. I had to write that down. When he said to me that those people were in that treatment center with no hope, and then all weekend long I talked to people who have no hope, who are dying out, I realized what God wanted me to say today, and I realized what God wants me to do, and God wants me to help more people. I don't know how. We're not going to be able to do it financially until we sell the house, but we're going to sacrifice something that we do pay for, even if it's, I don't know what it's going to be yet. And we're going to pick people to help every month. We are now, we help people every month anyway. We have children that we sponsor. We do community stuff. We donate to people constantly. The St. Jude's, Wounded Warriors, people, missions. We have two kids we sponsor, one in South America and one in Africa. Two young boys, beautiful young boys. But when I look at what Jesus did and how he walked around with nothing and gave everything, that's what I want to model. And if God gives back, he gives back. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He's already given me life. He's already given me joy. He's already saved me. He's given me salvation that I don't deserve. Annette and Linda and S. Finelli, look at this. This is generosity. This isn't for me. This isn't for LFA. This is generosity for other people, people that they don't even know. For all you know, Fred could be some made-up guy, but you know because the Holy Spirit is telling you, and you're helping Fred. And I said to Fred, he goes, maybe I should start my blog again as a way to get it out. And I said, if you start your blog again as a way to get it out, I, my friend, will read it for you so that the world hears it, so that God can spread your word of encouragement and inspiration, smiling to me while his wife has got 2 years left. Michelle Curl, Diane and Pat. He is going to bawl his eyes out when we give him this. Cat 352. You know that? You know what that's going to do? That's going to be God reaching out and touching their heart. But it's not only Fred. My wife and I want to leave a mark when we leave here. Now, of course, we're going to be coming back a lot. But we want to leave a mark when we leave here. Quantity, thank you so very much. The Lord hears prayers and the righteous for Fred's family. My wife and I are going to, we're going to give, not money, because we don't have a lot of money to give. We're going to give. We're going to reach out to people that we know are hurting and struggling, and we're going to give them some of the stuff that we're just not going to take with us, stuff that they might need, beds, tables, things like that. Bobby Mannion, thank you so very much. We're going to give help. My boys and my girls are going to go out, and we're going to help neighbors that are clearly doing yard work and house projects. We want to leave a mark, not just as the people that have a Jesus is our hope sign in the front yard, not just the people that have a waving flag and the father is always yelling at the phone doing some rant. We want to leave a mark that said God was here. Jesus was here. You know when you go into the bathroom stalls at truck stops and you see – this person was here, that person was here. I want to leave a mark wherever we go that doesn't say the Harrells were here. I want to leave a mark wherever we go that says Jesus was here. Thank you, Army Dog 777. We're going to put all of this in this fund for him and his family. And I'll bring Fred on. I know Fred will come on. He'll come on and he'll talk to you guys and he'll thank you and he'll tell you. The inspiration that this man gives, Sandra Davis and Rosebud, you guys, again, anybody who's just popping on, this, I didn't ask for these donations. Jess Patriot, thank you so much. Look at this, $100 from Rosebud, Sandra 20, Jess Patriot. I didn't ask for this if you're just joining in. This is people doing what they feel they want to do. This is people being generous to people who have all the hope in the world that they're going to be okay. And again, the reason I told you that story wasn't for you to help Fred, but look what you're doing. It was for you to find the Freds in your communities. And whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, emotional, hugging, physical, whatever it is, just leave a mark that says Jesus was here. That's all you got to do. What's that song? Jesus is the only name to remember. And I only got one life to live. How did every second point to this? Only Jesus. Jesus is the only name to remember. So we don't want him to know that S. Finelli and RJ Catt and Jess Patriot, we don't want anybody to know that you were here. Nobody wants to know that Jeremy was here. All we want is for people to know that Jesus was here. And ladies and gentlemen, being on a comfort Monday like today, it is time for Ray Comfort. But before we get there, because it's about a 10-minute video, I want to play for you something amazing. And this is George Jenko, who is quickly becoming one of my favorite people ever. I want you to hear what he says.
When Jesus and...
Hold on. I want you to hear what he says about Jesus and Satan. When they battle, they use the gospel. They use the word of God to battle. Check this out. Amazing.
The devil were in their only match in the gospel. The way that they fought each other was by the word. The devil would say, hey, you know, this is going to happen. And Jesus says, no, because it is written this. And then the devil said one more thing, and he says, no, 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 it is written this. And then I realized the devil tried to use this trick. He goes, well, it also is written this. And then Jesus says, no, because it is written this. So what I saw the battle was, who knew the gospel more? If I would have known Jesus Christ more, I would have been able to see these signs. I would have been like, no, because it is written dot, 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 dot. When I see something, no, 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 it is written dot, 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 dot. If you are fearful and you're a Christian, that means you haven't filled yourself up with faith. When I am with Jesus Christ, I am in peace. He used to walk into rooms and say, shalom, peace be with you, because he's with them. You could be losing your job and losing your home and losing your car and losing your mind. But you bring Jesus with you, you find peace and rest. And when you're comfortable, you can make the smarter move.
And that is exactly what Fred showed me Friday, and he didn't even know it. Didn't even know it. Ray Comfort.
This is Kevin. After he had heard the gospel, he suddenly brought up the issue of slavery, and I said something to him that left him kind of shocked.
The things that have been taught to me in a book have been used against me also. So just following this, the same thing that enslaved my people is crazy.
Like, what are you talking about? And then I gave him both barrels for about 3 minutes. All the while, I was thinking, how is he taking this? Is this making him angry? And what he said shocked me. Make sure you watch until the end. Would it please you to know for sure there's an afterlife and you can be free from death? The reason I ask that is because the Bible says that death is an enemy. Mm-hmm. Well, you can overcome an enemy. You can battle an enemy. At the moment, you can't fight death because you've got no answer to it. Right. The Bible tells us what death is. It's an enemy. Tells us what causes death. Tells us what you can do about it. And gives us assurance you can have everlasting life. Are you lost?
Mentally? Yes.
Most young people don't know where they came from. They've been told stupid stuff at school. They don't know what they're doing here, and they don't know where they're going after they die. Where are you going after you die?
I believe in reincarnation, so I believe that, you know, I'm going to end up in this world again.
Do you believe the Bible?
Oh, yes, I do.
You know what it says? There's no reincarnation. Did you know that?
Correct. I do know.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you're a good person?
I would say I'm a good person.
How many lies have you told in your life?
Who knows?
God knows.
Yeah, I know God knows.
He knows everyone. And the Bible says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. It also says all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Have you lied and stolen?
I have when I was a child, so.
You started young, didn't you? Have you ever used God's name in vain?
Yes, I have.
And have you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Do you love your mom?
I do love her.
Would you ever use her name as a cuss word? Instead of the S word to express disgust, would you use your mother's name?
No.
Why not?
I respect her.
You don't respect the God that gave you a mother. You've taken his holy name. The godly Jews won't even write down, because it's so holy, and used it in place of a cuss word. You know what that's called?
Sinning.
Blasphemy. Very serious. Still think you're a good person?
I don't.
We're looking at the Ten Commandments to see how you're going to do on Judgment Day. Ready for this next one? This is a canon.
Yeah.
Jesus said, whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has committed adultery already with her in his heart. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust?
I would say I have.
You're not sure? When did you last look at pornography?
About a year or two.
That's looking with lust. That's breaking that commandment. Okay. Have you had sex before marriage?
Yes.
Here's a quick summation for you, Kevin. You've told me that you're a lying, thieving, blasphemous, fornicating, adulterer at heart, and you're self-righteous and saying you're a good person when you're not. You're like the rest of us.
Right.
You're a sinner at heart. So if God judges you by the Ten Commandments on Judgment Day, you're going to be innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
Heaven or hell?
Hell.
And what about you, innocent or guilty?
Guilty.
And you'd end up in hell. That horrifies me. I've just met you guys, and I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. Ever heard the Bible verse, the wages of sin is death?
No, I haven't.
It's saying that God is paying you in death for your sins. Like a judge who looks at a criminal that's committed murder, and he keeps saying, I'm a good person, judge. The judge says, I'm going to show you how serious your crime is. I'm giving you the death sentence. This is your wages. This is what you've earned. And guys, sin is so serious to a holy God, he's given you the death sentence. You're on death row. And your death will be evidence to you that God is deadly serious about sin. And you've earned your wages. Man, I don't want you to go to hell. I love you. That horrifies me. The thought you...
Yeah, I don't want to go to hell either.
What did God do for guilty sinners so we wouldn't have to go to hell? Do you know?
He died for us.
He died on the cross. Now, almost everybody knows that, but they don't know this. And guys, if you can get a grip of this, it's going to change everything for you. The Ten Commandments are called the moral law. You and I broke the law. Jesus paid the fine. That's why he said, it is finished. Just before he died, he was saying, paid in full. If you're in court and you've got speeding fines, the judge will let you go if someone pays those fines. They say you're guilty, but you can leave because someone's paid your fine. And it's legal. Yeah, God can legally dismiss your death sentence. He can take it off you and let you live forever, all because of what Jesus did on the cross and paying our fine and then rising from the dead 3 days later. And all you have to do to find everlasting life is repent of your sins, you know what that means, turn from sin, and then trust in Jesus like you trust a parachute. And one last question. If you're going to jump out of a plane 10,000 feet, why would you put on a parachute?
To give myself a second chance.
You don't want to die. Motivation is fear, and that fear is your friend, it's not your enemy, because it's making you put on a parachute. And guys, because I love you, I've tried to put the fear of God in you today. I've tried to make you scared, hoping you'll see that fear as your friend, not your enemy, because it'll make you serious with God, and it'll bring you to the foot of the cross where you'll find everlasting life. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Make sense to you?
Yes, it does. Yes.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus instead of in yourself?
I think I have already repented, you know.
Yeah, not talking about that. When are you going to repent and trust in Jesus rather than trust in you being a good person? That's what I'm trying to say. We all feel repentant, we all feel sorry, but we must come to that point where we put our trust in Jesus and not in our own goodness. Because you're not a good person, it's not going to work on Judgment Day. If you think you're going to be saved by trusting in your goodness, you're like a man who jumps out of a plane, flapping his arms, trying to save himself. It's not going to work. He should just trust the parachute. So don't trust your goodness. Trust in Jesus with all your heart. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So when are you going to do that?
I'm going to go ahead and do that and start today.
And what about you?
Same. I'm with her. Wherever she goes, I'm going there.
But do you realize what you're doing? You're giving up the battle. You're saying, God, I give up my will. I've done things that are morally wrong. I need your forgiveness.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
Are you sorry for your sins?
I'm sorry for my sins.
Are you?
I am very sorry for my sins.
Okay. Can I pray with you guys?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's bear in prayer. Father, I pray for this couple. Thank you for their openness of heart. I pray this day as they think about their own sinfulness, that they'll be genuinely sorry for their sins and find a place of true repentance, and be born again with a new heart and new desires, with the knowledge that pass from death to life, all because of your great kindness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Do you have a Bible at home?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'm going to give you a Gospel of John each, and a book I wrote called Volatile, which shows you that the Bible spoke of the countries that would attack Israel in the last days, written 2,500 years ago, naming the countries, showing to you that the Bible is God's Word. Because only God knows the future, and he gave us the future 2,500 years ago. And also, I'll give you a little booklet called Save Yourself Some Pain and two $5 In-N-Out cards for dinner tonight. Is that okay?
Yes.
I thought that would make you smile. Okay, let me grab them for you.
All right.
And you've got God's promise, and he cannot lie because he's without sin. He'll grant you everlasting life as a free gift, not because you're good, but because he's good and kind and rich in mercy. Is this making sense?
It does make sense, yeah.
You're going to think about what we talked about?
I'll think about it, yeah.
So when are you going to repent and put your faith in Jesus instead of in your own goodness?
The way that I've experienced life, the things that have been taught to me in a book have been used against me also. So just following in this, the same thing that enslaved my people is crazy.
Like, what are you talking about? Don't go to history. Just say, I'm a sinner. I need God's mercy. Kevin, this is what's happening. You and I are on a plane 10,000 feet up. We both have to jump any second. I've got my parachute on, and I say, Kevin, when are you going to put your parachute on? You say, well, there's people that have done wrong in the past. Man, the best thing I can do for you is hang you up the plane for 2 seconds by your ankles. And I've tried to hang you out eternity by your ankles, hoping you'll see how serious this is. Kevin, this is your life we're talking about. I don't want you to go to hell, and there's a battle going on for your soul at the moment. Satan doesn't want to let you go. Just get before the
Lord. Do you know that there's an everlasting life? Have you seen
it? Of course, I've obeyed the gospel.
You've obeyed the gospel, and that helps you to see it, to come back and tell me that it exists?
This is how you know that what I'm saying is true. God will make you a brand new person on the inside, so you'll love righteousness. Instead of loving sin, you'll love righteousness. God says he'll give you a new heart with new desires. You'll be born again, come out of darkness into light. And the first time you were born, it was radical. You didn't exist, then you did. When you're born again, when you come to Christ, it's just as radical, and that'll be your own personal miracle. You'll know what God says is true because he's transformed you on the inside and made you a brand new person. Kevin, all I can do is plead with this. Please think about this. This is your eternity. It's not just who you're going to marry or what you're going to do for a job. It's where you're going to spend forever. So you're at a crossroads at the moment, sin or righteousness, obedience or rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. So if you say, God, I'm not going to obey the gospel, I refuse to repent, you're going to reap death in hell, and I don't want that to happen to you. So please, when I leave here, just think about it with a serious heart. Think about your secret sins and that God has seen them. Think how he made provision for you to be forgiven and cleansed because of what Jesus did on the cross. And just say, God, please confirm to me what that guy is saying is true. Would you somehow confirm it to me? And he's faithfully promised.
I've asked that question for a long time.
You have?
Yeah, I have.
So you're going to think about what we talked about today?
I definitely will. I always think about it. And I do appreciate this conversation. I appreciate what you said to me.
See that, ladies and gentlemen? If Ray wasn't out doing that day, that couple wouldn't have prayed with him. And that man who's been asking that question for a very, very long time would not have had it answered. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us today on Rise Up. It is 10 o'clock. I do love each and every one of you. I'm so glad that Billy is here. Billy, we love you. God brought you here for a reason, man. And I have a feeling you'll be a bigger warrior for the Lord than I will ever be. And we just thank you, man. He says, I'm blessed with being effed over every day. I get it. So you're all right about that. I'm being blessed. That's right. People who feel like they're effed over every day are blessed. because they are building up a warrior spirit and a warrior armor that nobody will ever be able to stop. And when you turn that for good and righteousness and understand that your very breath in your lungs is a gift, then you'll understand that you're not as effed over as you think, and you're going to take that and turn it around. It's basically turning that frown upside down. Do appreciate you, though, Billy, and we hope you come back tomorrow, man, at 9 a.m. For the rest of you, I love you. God bless you. Mike Crispy is starting right now, so have a great morning. Enjoy the music on your way out. Keep yourself prayed up, and I'll see you at 11 o'clock for Live from America. See you later.